DW Africa Link.
Uganda's political season is officially underway. As the country gears up for the 2026 general elections, thousands of candidates have hit the campaign trail, vying for seats in parliament and local government. Now, to give you a picture of what the campaign trail looks like, 2,025 candidates are contesting for 350 constituency seats as elected members of parliament in Uganda. Unlike before, opposition voices are uniting to challenge the National Resistance Movement, NRM's long-standing rule under President Yoweri Museveni. But with strict guidelines from the Electoral Commission and rising political tensions, the question on everyone's mind is, will this campaign season be peaceful, fair, and inclusive?
They abduct them, the supporters, they are being beaten. Whenever you move, you find soldiers, you find police people. Even wherever they are holding up their rallies, those soldiers, those police people are always there arresting people.
And that's what's coming up. I am Ajua Tinkrama Adomna, and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Parliamentary campaigns have officially begun in Uganda and is expected to span several weeks and ultimately culminate into the nationwide elections in 2026, which will determine Uganda's next leadership at all administrative levels, from parliament to local councils and even to the presidency. But as the political landscape heats up, rights groups like Human Rights Watch have warned of deteriorating human rights conditions, including a shrinking civic space under President Yoweri Museveni's decades-long leadership. The key question remains, what are the concerns of voters and what impact will the current political climate have on the 2026 general elections in Uganda? For more on this, we're joined by Godbert Tumushabe. He is a lawyer. He's a policy analyst. He's also the associate director at the Great Lakes Institute for Strategic Studies in Kampala. Also joining us is DW correspondent in Uganda, Frank Yeager. Welcome, gentlemen. Let me begin with you, Godbert, since you are our expert for today. First of all, we would like for you to describe the parliamentary campaigns in Uganda. How is the landscape like for somebody in other parts of Africa who may not know how it looks like? How do you compare Uganda to countries like Nigeria, Ghana, or Kenya?
Uganda has a very big parliament. We are a population of about 45 million people going by the last census. But we are the ones who probably have the highest number of MPs compared to any country around the world. The contestants are based on different political parties. But what is unique about the Ugandan electoral system for members of parliament is that because the elections of the main ruling group, the ruling National Resistance Movement, the primary elections are always distorted, characterized by a lot of rigging votes, use of money. So they are always not considered fair. So almost everybody who loses that primary election then comes back as independent.
Godbert, we'll come to the issues about rigging and unfairness. We have even heard reports about police brutality. We'll come to all of those issues, but we wanted to put this in proper perspective so that our listeners around the world in other parts of Africa can also appreciate the Ugandan system. So hold your thoughts for me. I will come back to you shortly. Now, Frank, let me come to you. Campaigns have started. How is the mood like in Uganda? How is the political climate like in Uganda? Is it serene? Is it peaceful?
The campaigns, I would say, so far are so good because last month we saw the Constitutional Affairs Minister, Norbert Mao, saying that they are going to be peaceful, which we are observing, but not all that though at this moment, because we see some irregularities like security involvement in elections for the opposition parties, and also barring them from, taking certain activities that they are mandated to do by law. And the race is, though we have eight presidential candidates, when you look at the presidential level, but the race is between two. That is National Resistance Movement's Yoweri Museveni and also National Unity Platform's Bobi Wine. So the two are running neck to neck, and each one is claiming to have an edge over the other. Yes, they're going to be noisy. So far, we've had a lot of noise coming from both sides, especially the Bobi Wine side, though it is so much suffocated by the security operatives. We see them at least, proving a point that they have the campaigns in control. The NRM on the other side is also proving that, yes, we have all the structures, we have the money, we have the powers, and we can run this without any hindrances.
Right. Thank you for the both of you. I think you've laid a proper foundation for this conversation to move on. Now, let me go back to Godba. What do you believe are the key issues that will drive voter sentiment in 2026 elections?
So issues that underlie Uganda's elections, and then there are the campaign issues. The structure issues are basically what you'd call the distortions within the entire electoral system. And these are, one, the security forces, the police, the army, and other state institutions, particularly the institution called the institution of the RDCs, or Resident District Commissioners, numbering over 200. And then the internal security organization, all these groups work full-time to ensure that the incumbent president is declared winner. So that's a huge distortion, that you have officials who are paid by taxpayer money acting that as a campaign network for the incumbent president, which means that if you are an opposition political party like National Unity Platform or any other, you cannot really marshal the same kind of human resource like this one, because you would have to pay for it. Some of the other distortions are brought by programs that are official. So in other words, they are official programs that are provided for in the budget, which are government programs, and then they are delivered as ruling party programs. And then, of course, the violence that the security forces, either covertly or overtly, they are always ready to unleash violence against opposition political supporters. And I think, as Frank mentioned earlier, basically a pleasant surprise to everybody in this country now that the security forces have been fairly restrained in terms of using violence, in as much as we are seeing it really escalating around Bobi Wine's campaign. I can add that on the campaign trail, I can point like three things that are going to shape the elections. The first one is the demographics, that our listeners may wish to know that Uganda is a very young country where close to 70% of the population is below 40, 45 years. So these are fairly young people. And you can see a certain level of mobilization of young people around the candidature of Robert Chagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine. So the way that the young people are shaping up to participate in the elections, if that was to continue to the voting day, that is going to have a major influence on the outcome. The second issue is the issue of justice versus injustice. The country is right now divided into binary narratives. There are those people who feel there is peace. There are people who feel there is oppression. There are people who feel there is justice. There are people who feel there is injustice. There are people who feel there is corruption. There are those who feel there is no corruption. All those who are feeling the injustice, the corruption, and the deprivation are mainly those that mobilize around Bobi Wine and the National Unity Platform. Those who are feeling good, that the country is peaceful, there is progress, they are mobilizing around M7. So the campaigns, as they shape up and the decisions to be made, assuming all the other structure factors were removed, these would be major considerations in the campaigns. Maybe if I could add one last point, which is the point of service delivery. Both the main candidates, but also the candidate of of Alliance for National Transformation, General Mundu, have been very specific on service delivery issues, the quality of health care, the quality of education, the quality of our roads infrastructure, and I think they are communicating them with some level of emphasis that they are beginning to gain traction, and therefore that is likely also to have a major influence on how people are likely to vote.
Very well. You've spoken critically about how the political system is sort of rigged in favor of the governing party. My question to you will be that, does the opposition have any chance at all, you know, to break the dominance of the NRM?
The challenge that we have is to think opposition in reference to an opposition political party. I think right now I would say that the opposition to President Museveni is bigger than the political party called NUP or called ANT. So when you follow Bobi Wine's campaigns or Robert Chagurani's campaigns, you can see that he has shifted his campaign messaging from a political party to a national campaign. So you hardly see him carrying the flags of the National Unity Platform. People at his rallies are carrying the national flag. So basically saying this is a movement of people who are oppressed, who are feeling the injustice, who are marginalized. So it's a bigger movement. So he is mobilizing the opposition within the political groupings, within the civil society, within the professional associations, within the economic associations, because, like, for example, the business community is very, very affected deeply by the taxation regime, by the lack of financing for businesses. Recently in Kampala here, we had a major flooding in the capital city that basically destroyed property worth billions of shillings. And therefore, all these people, I don't think that they can be thinking about what the president is campaigning about. Bobi Wine is talking to them and saying, we have a bigger campaign to do. He's running a campaign of unity, saying, oh, the current president who has been in power for 40 years has ruled us because he has been able to divide us. So in other words, he's saying he has used divide and rule, and he's calling upon the population to say, let's unite and liberate ourselves from this 40-year rule here.
We hear the point you're making, but for many people, the question really will be that, are voters buying in? Do you see a buy-in from voters? Has there been any shift in the political atmosphere that indicates that this time voters really need change? Because there are one too many examples of situations where you campaign and it appears the public are in favor of a particular candidate, but the elections will come and it will be a different story.
I would say that the voters are listening. The response to Bobi Wine's campaign, especially in areas like Western Uganda, where there was expectation that this is an NRM dominant area or M7 dominant area, the response is different, and the population is responding to his message. I think that the difficult point to make here, Andoa, is that at the end of the day, on that very day when elections take place on the 15th of January, the fundamental question will be, are citizens of Uganda able to protect this vote? Because the Electoral Commission and all the other state agencies basically act as departments or agents of the incumbent ruling regime. So the Electoral Commission, the police, the intelligence services, I've mentioned the resident district commissioners, all these are working to make sure that they rig the election in favor of the incumbent. So when you ask me, are the voters responding? The voters are responding. I think the messaging that Robert Chagurani is making is to say, responding is not enough. Going to vote is not enough. You have to vote. Stay at the polling station and protect the vote and make sure that it is counted. And if it is stolen, you demand for it.
Mm. Right. We'll come to you, you know, on how they are hoping to protect the vote, really. But let me come to you, Frank. You have been speaking to voters. What have they been saying? What are you picking up from the ground in terms of whether there is a willingness to change the sitting government or, you know, bring in the opposition parties?
Well, the voters have mixed reactions, at least those of engaged with. There are those who say yes, they really want change. 40 years is quite a long time, and because they imagine some were born when the president, when Museveni came to power, and others have had children, and others are bound to have grandchildren, and they've never seen a new president. So they say they want change. No matter the change, whether it's Robert Chagulanyi or Mugisha Muntu or any other presidential candidate coming in, all they want is change. So there are those who argue that way. And then still there are those who say that at least let us give the old man one more chance, the last chance he deserves, so that he leaves us in peace. So they say because he said, the president himself, that if they vote him this time, this is likely to be his last term. His 80-plus years, though others claim he's 90-plus, doesn't matter. But he says this is his last chance, that he has to be president. Once they vote him to power, at least it will be the last of him. So they want to give him that chance. But still, the majority of the voters I interacted with want change.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frank, it will be very impossible for me not to bring in this particular topic, because it's just a recent development. Recently, the president, you know, admitted to abduction and torturing, or arrest, if you like to put it, and torturing of some Kenyan activists. This, in addition to cases of repression or police brutality and other, you know, really unfair practices like what Godba was mentioning, are these part of the things that voters are going to look on to vote for in come 2026, or do they influence anything at all?
Yes, definitely they do influence. We have arrests and abductions even way before the elections. And people's favorite candidates, were arrested and abducted. We've seen this happen day in, day out. And it's one of the reasons that cause, you know, anger, and also, you know, to them, that they say, yes, based on these factors, we will not vote the current regime or President Museveni back to office. It's not the first time the president is acknowledging the illegal arrest. He's done it so many times. But of course, some experts believe that he's aware of what is exactly going on, because he's the commander-in-chief. They gave him reports. He knows all the plans that is orchestrated by the security operatives. And they say he gives a nod to whatever the security does. So I believe this also plays to the advantage of the opposition, so that they can push him out. So it counts so much for them to vote for the opposition and also disregard the president.
Right. Thank you for those thoughts. Let me come back to you, Godba. Do you think really that the outcome of these parliamentary elections or parliamentary campaigns might have any influence at all on the overall presidential election?
I think they would, in the sense that, again, because of the distortions I mentioned, the main opposition political party, the National Unity Platform, was not able to field candidates, parliamentary candidates across the whole country, because one, they didn't have money. Government enacted a law in a very, very dubious circumstances to deny them money that is normally contributed by government or by taxpayers to political parties. So they didn't have money. So many of the candidates, a good number of candidates, could not nominate. And then others were definitely bought out by some of the big politicians within the ruling party. And then of course, the security people, you know, they keep on buying some of these candidates out. So if you are a presidential candidate, and then you have certain regions where you don't have full campaign teams in terms of the local parliamentary seats, in terms of the local council seats, Of course, you have limitations in terms of your physical presence on the ground. So I would say that the parliamentary elections can have a bearing on how the presidential candidates behave or performs. And secondly, if the party has not been able to field these parliamentary or even local council candidates, then the presence at the polling stations is not really felt the way it should be.
We know that in certain countries, for instance, in Ghana, when elections are about to happen, you see governments hurrying to, you know, fulfill projects that they have promised long ago and they have not touched them. You know, they will try as much as possible to win the favor of the people back. Are you seeing any signs of such? And are the populace buying into this?
Well, the populace cannot buy into that here in Uganda because people here are so wise. They are so much on ground. They know reality and they know fiction. They know what can be done and what cannot be done. I mean, 4 years in power, same script, same promises, same programs. It is what they are seeing, and they can't see anything more than that. So there's nothing, even if at the last moment, that's going to change their minds. They already know what they want. They're going for it, and they are determined to have it. It is what we're having in the opposition. Although the NRM party, President Museveni's NRM party, is insisting this time round they are making it better. It might be the same old stories and promises, but they are going to paint the whole story and make it sound better. But to the opposition, there's nothing new to them, so there's nothing that's going to woo them into supporting what they have been seeing for the last 40 years.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Frank, for those words. Now, let me come to you for your last words, Godba. Democracy stands really at a test in Uganda's election in 2026. Do you think the country will win?
The only way Uganda can win is if this violence is nipped in the bud. And the violence, by the way, is by the security forces. The Chagulanyi team has been very, very disciplined, very restrained, with all the provocations, but I think that we have to pray that the security forces do not engage in more provocations that could then all of a sudden trigger these young people to protest, because I think that that's what they would be looking for, to be able to unleash violence on the population the way they did in 2021.
Thank you so much, Godba Tumushave. He is a lawyer, policy analyst, and the associate director at the Great Lakes Institute for Strategic Studies in Kampala. We're also joined by Frank Yiga. He's DW correspondent in Uganda. Thank you to the both of you for making time for this conversation. As the campaigns gain momentum, will the opposition's unity threaten the foundations of the NRM's long-standing rule, or will President Museveni's party tighten its grip on power once again? Time will tell. In the meantime, here's how some Ugandans have been reacting to the campaign season.
Majority of the people who are contesting, apart from a few who are in government offices and maybe having some businesses here and there, but most of them are just looking for employment, 5-year employment. And they are willing to sacrifice even sell their ancestral grounds to go contest.
Whenever you move, you find soldiers, you find police people, even wherever they are holding up their rallies, those soldiers, those police people are always there arresting people. When people are coming, like, let's say he's going to a certain district, you find a roadblock on the road. So, like, I'm wondering, what is going to happen when the time for election comes? Because that means supporters will be coming for elections, but maybe they might abduct them. They will not even vote. So what will happen? I don't think it's going to be peaceful.
We've ever been here before. And the truth is, this time it is more peaceful than 2021. It's very peaceful, I must say. But also, it's very clear that the NRM candidate, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, will finally take this vote. Why am I saying so? You see, our laws allow the incumbent to campaign so many years before the rest. He's traversed the country almost everywhere. He's just going there for the I don't know how many times. But these other colleagues are going there for the first time.
We'll definitely be following every twist and turn on this journey to the election 2026 and carry you along every step of the way. Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina. Thank you for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.